This is the first time I sang this song as well. I really like the words. The chorus says, "Let me find your grace in the valley." Today I'm going to talk about in the valley experience. In times of difficulties, in times of trial, in times of suffering. Let me find your life in my death. Let me find your joy in my sorrow. So for those of you who suffered a lot, I hope this song and what I'm going to share may shed some light for you as well. We can find his wealth in our need, that you are near with every breath in the valley. He is near when in times of difficulties we feel, "God, why are you so far away?" Actually, he is near. Every breath we take, he is there. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we come before you, we ask that you speak to us. Prepare our hearts to meet you. We commit everyone into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My burden is that we Christians, not just knowing all the Bible facts, all the Bible knowledge, it becomes head knowledge. I pray that we can experience what we talk in our daily life. It becomes all practical and we can experience it. So I start to talk about roadblocks a few times ago. So the first roadblock I talk about is worry. When we are worried, it's so natural. But what are we going to do after we feel we are worried? We should cast our cares on him. So worries drives us to him. The second roadblock I talk about is weakness. So often we think we can't overcome such problem. We need more strength. But from the Bible, we realize all we have to do is dedicate what we already have, no matter how weak you are. Dedicate what you have to him. So all this drives, I'm not talking about methods. I'm not talking about even a Bible verse. I'm talking about go back to him. Cast our care on him. So last time I talked about the third W, which is wrong. Wrong was a mild word. What I really talked about last time is talking about sin. Sin is displacement of God, as if pushing God away from the throne. So when we felt in sin, that's become so difficult. So we need to confess our sin and come back to him and surrender our throne back to him. So I hope everyone can realize it's all about him. He is the answer to our problem. Cast our care on him, dedicate ourselves to him, surrender our throne to him. So it's not a method, but a person is our answer. Today I'm going to talk about the fourth W roadblocks, which is wounds. How do we get our wounds? Sometimes when we got a cut somewhere, not only just a cut, we'll feel the pain. We'll feel the hurt. Oh, it's hurtful. Sometimes it may be even a loss. So wounds seems to be a very mild word. But if you have many, many wounds for many, many long time, not just physical wounds, sometimes it's emotional wounds. In your heart, you are hurt. It becomes suffering. It becomes a tribulations, afflictions to you as well. So imagine a physical wound. If you have a cut, if you don't treat it well, it may have germs going on and it becomes inflammation and it gets worse. It may be something fatal to you as well. So not just the physical wounds, sometimes it's the emotional wounds as well. When we got hurt, and we don't know why. We become so hopeless. We may enter into a state called a depression. Or even get worse, we may have some suicidal thoughts come to our mind. We want to kill ourselves sometimes. if we are not Christians, we may actually even kill ourselves. So all these wounds can bother us, can stop us. Why, God, why do you let this happen in our life? So wounds is something that can stop us to follow Him. But let us look at a verse. The first Bible verse, plenty of Bible verses today. The first Bible verse is from Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So again, we come back to our physician, our doctor. He heals the brokenhearted. So when we got wounds, where can we go? Our God can heal the brokenhearted, the emotional wounds, and binds up their wounds. The physical wounds, He can treat it properly. So again, when we have wounds, we'll go back to Him. But then we'll ask a question. Hey, hold on. Why do we got hurt in the first place? How come I got hurt? There are two reasons. The first reason is in Psalm 107, verse 17. Fools because of their transgressions, or our sin, and because of their iniquities, our sinful acts or actions, were afflicted. So when we were sinners, or even when we sinned, we act like fools. We do something wrong, and there are consequences. And we got afflicted. So suffering will come if we sin. If we do something we know we shouldn't, there's the consequence. And the consequence is we suffer. So if all our suffering is like this, then it's so simple. Because I've done something wrong. You can't complain about it. Oh, I have tummy pain because I eat the wrong thing. It's my choice. It's my fault. And then if the suffering is because of my fault, then it's easier to swallow. But so often we say, hey, hold on, God, it's not my fault. I'm the victim. I did not do the drink driving. Somebody do the drink driving and I'm involved in the accident. I got hurt. I'm a victim. Why does all this suffering come to me? You allow this to happen. Yes, you can heal my wounds and Yes, you can heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds, but why would you let me get hurt in the first place? It's painful, Lord. So this is our problem. Now, let's look at another... Let's think about this. Why would God allow bad things happen to so-called good people? Why would God allow some, as if He's holding a knife, stabs me in my heart? Why would God do something like that? Well, I would say, if you think God holds a knife to stab into your heart, I think there's only one reason. He's the heart surgeon trying to save you or me. I say that again. Because God loves us, and if you think He has done something hurtful to you, there must be a good reason. Brothers and sisters, if you feel He's stabbing your heart, then the only reason is He is the heart surgeon trying to deliver us, to save us. Jesus is our Savior. He is trying to save us. I'm going to talk about the suffering of four different people. The first one I'm going to talk about is Job. Let's look at Job. Job and his family in Uz. In the book of Job, chapter 1, let's have a look, let's know more about him. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright. Can we go back to Job? Upright. And one who feared God and shunned evil. Now look at this. Job seems to be a very good man. Blameless, upright, feared God, and shunned evil. He didn't do anything wrong at all. And what did he have? it says he got 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of Egypt. The numbers there in verse 2 and 3, it is going to be changed later at the end of the book. So I want you to notice 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, blah, blah, blah. Okay, later on, we'll see the changes. Okay, so this seems to be a good man. God blessed him a lot. And now what happens next? Can we jump to verse 12? Now the Lord blessed the latter days... not 42. Can we go back to Job chapter 1, verse 8 to 11? 8 to 11. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 8 to 11. Yes. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? And there's none like him." Where is he? "And there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, protecting him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." So Satan was talking to God. Sure, because you blessed him. He do all these good things and shun evil because you blessed him. He is for the blessing. He doesn't love you, Lord. He doesn't fear you at all. All he has done is for the blessing. So what happened next is God allowed Satan to attack Job. So before we move on, now, without suffering, you do good. Satan may say, yes, you are good, because you want blessing from God. You honor God, you love God, because for the blessing. If you suffer, then you won't follow God. If you suffer, is God still your God? If God allow you to suffer with no apparent reason, would you still love God? This is the question. We don't know until we come through suffering to test as is trial by fire. Can we come to... So, because of that, God allows Satan to attack him. In the first attack, he lost all his possessions. And all his children, 3 daughters and 7 sons, all died in one single day. And yet he did not sin. He did not curse God. So Satan talked to God again, and God allowed him to have a second attack. The second attack is... the second attack, Job has got painful boils all over his body. Very painful, all the wounds. So day and night, he is in these painful boils. Now all this, such a strong attack, very interesting books to look at if you study the book of Job. And after that, 3 of his best, Job has got 3 friends coming to visit him. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. These friends come to comfort him. But all they are trying to give an explanation to Job. You suffer, but God is just. There must be a reason. So the reason must be, Job, you have sinned. Maybe secretly. God knows. So throughout all this talking and talking, Job think about his whole life. No, I did not sin, I did not sin, I did not sin. So many chapters of the book talks about the friends, talking to Job, Job reply, and keep on like that for three rounds of talking. Eight times the friends talked to him, and eight times he replied, no, I did not. So after all this talking and defending himself, the more he thinks about the past Job, the more painful he is. And God seems to be keeping silent all the time. And that makes him he felt he was wrongly accused for no reason. And God attacked him for no reason. The more he thinks about his past life, oh, how glorious it was. Now it's all pain, day and night. He blamed God for all this in his heart. He got angrier and angrier in his life. Finally, another young man come to talk with him, Elihu. And finally, in Job chapter 31, verse 40. If you are studying Job, finally you come to that little phrase, Job 31, verse 40. If I have done something wrong, blah, 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 and let thistle grow instead of wheat, and wheat instead of barley, let the curse come to me, if I have done something wrong. And finally, the words of Job are ended. After so much struggling, defending himself, finally the words of Job are ended. When I was reading the book of Job, finally he finished, finally ended. And then, that's when God starts to talk to Job. Do you know this? And in the next few chapters, God asked him more than 50, around 40 to 50 questions. Do you know this? And the answer is, Job, he didn't know at all. Can we look at Job 42, verse 5 and 6? 42, verse 5 and 6. Because of time, I can only give a very brief summary. Job 42, verse 5 and 6. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Job is talking to God. After God asking him a lot of questions, he got no answer. And that's now how he talked to God. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I have heard of you, but now my eye sees you. Then he hated himself, got angry with himself, and repent in dust and ashes. And the funny thing is, God did not answer why I let you suffer. The interesting thing is, God never answered his question, but instead of asking him questions, God asked him even more questions that he can't answer. So what is the answer for Job's suffering? To me, is when he sees God and no more answer is needed. So brothers and sisters, in the valley, when you are in pain or difficulties, you ask God a lot of questions. Why? God did not answer. It seems like God keeps silent. But one day when God appeared to you, you don't need the answer. This is especially true when I think of when my daughter, when she was born in her first month, still a tiny baby like that, we brought her to have the first vaccination there. And the little tiny baby was like that. And look, when I look at the needle, wow, look at that needle. It's longer than her arm. And the nurse, and the baby, after 1 or 2 seconds, wow, it's like that. And before she finished her cry, the needle pulled out. All the pain came to that little baby, tiny little baby with a big needle. She didn't know why. Why all the pain? Why do you stab me? The nurse, mother, why don't you do something? The baby can't say anything. She just cried. And within 2 or 3 seconds, or maybe 4 or 5 seconds, when the baby comes to the into the bosom of the mother, and suddenly the baby quiet. My daughter keeps very quiet. The pain is short and momentary. It's gone. But when the baby comes into the bosom of the mother, when she sees the mother, the look of maybe the warmth, the look, the love there, then there's no answer needed. So often when we're struggling, because we don't know why, but when we come before God, when we know that He's a loving God, He knows what He is doing, good for us. I can't explain to the baby, now this vaccination is going to keep you away from certain sort of germs. This is, it contains the what sort of chemical inside, the medicine inside. This will help you. I don't have to explain to the baby girl. She doesn't need explanation. She wants to know that the mother loves her. Just like us, we don't know a lot of the answer for all the suffering. But when we meet God there in the valley, somehow we are comforted by His presence. Somehow we are comforted by His love. No explanation required. You know what you are doing. I don't know myself, but Lord, You know. And I trust that You know. And I accept what comes to me is for my good. Brothers and sisters, can you do that? What happens to you? Something happened to you, maybe it may break your heart. It may break your heart. But know that God loves you, and what happens to you is out of His love. Point number one. Okay, now let's look at the final outcome in Job 42, verse 12 and 13. Job 42, verse 12 and 13. I talked about the numbers. Now look at the numbers at the end. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning, more than his beginnings, for he has 14,000 sheep. If you compare to the beginning, it doubles here. 6,000 camels, it doubles here. 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. It doubles. So I'm not talking after our suffering, all your possessions will double. Oh, I only have $3,000 in my account. After my suffering, I have $6,000. I don't mean that. I'm talking about spiritual blessing. I'm talking about you don't have much patience. After the suffering, you have more patience. You don't have love. After the suffering, you may have more love in your heart. And also the number is very important. It doubles. In the Old Testament time, when double portions means the first blessing, it means Christ. Christ is the firstborn of all creation. So doubling the possessions means it's the firstborn. And the firstborn refers to Christ because He's the firstborn of all creations. In other words, these figures are telling us He's gaining Christ after the suffering. So brothers and sisters, suffering comes, but there is a purpose for us to not just to be more patient, not just to have more kindness, but to be more like Christ. It's for our spiritual maturity. Not just helping you, not just changing you, but to be more like Him. So this is the heart surgeon I'm talking about. Because somewhere, some part in our life does not like Him. So He used the pain. He used the suffering. He used the wounds. He's doing an operation in our life. It's painful, yes. But there is a purpose. So we quickly go to the second person, Joseph. The suffering of Joseph. Joseph, he was sold betrayed by his brother. At 17 years old, he was sold to Egypt as a slave. And he was accused by his master's wife. He was put in prison as well. So he has gone through, imagine, I think many of us know the story of Joseph. So he has gone through a lot of suffering, going down step by step. From a well-beloved son, going down to a slave, going down to a prisoner. No hope. Everyone forget about him. But God, after all this suffering, God test him. And one day God raised him to become the governor of Egypt. After almost 20 years, he said something like this in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, he's talking to his brother, you meant evil against me. Yes, someone may meant evil against you. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is in this day, to save many people alive. So you may suffer for a reason, to bring blessing to people around you, maybe after 20 years. So today, your suffering seems to be has no meaning. Today, your suffering seems to have no purpose. But one day, God will show you it has a purpose. Through you, through the life of Christ in you, we can bring blessing to other people. Let's have a look at the suffering of Jesus. Let's look at John 12:24. Jesus talked about his death. Why? He's a well-beloved Son of God. He has done nothing wrong. But to Jesus, there is a purpose. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, the grain has to die, has to go through pain, has to go through suffering, has to go through the cross. So even Jesus, who has done nothing wrong, he has to suffer. Why? It remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. So that's why we are here today, because of the suffering of Jesus. Many people come to have life. So we are the grains there. And think about the wounds Jesus have in John 19:34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a javelin, with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. So there is a wound on Jesus' side. The soldier holding a spear pierced him. What comes out is water and blood. You know, today, when people hurt you, use something to pierce you, what will come out from their mouth? Cursing come out. Anger comes out. But when people pierce Jesus, what comes out? What are you made of? If people hurt you, what will come out from your mouth? Cursing God, blaming God, cursing people, revenge. What will come out from your life? What is inside you? Let's see. If something is not broken, we don't know what it is inside. But even if something is really good, like Jesus, his life is perfect, the wounds only bring out his life. The wounds only bring out his blessing to us. So if you are a good person, if you are a perfect Christian, I tell you, people may pierce you one day. God allow people to hurt you to see what you are made of. Are you a hypocrite? Is your life really showing love and mercy? Every people love you, you love every people. But one day when people try to hurt you, then we will see what's inside you, what you are made of. Out from your wounds, what is coming out? The pus, the germs, bacteria, something smelly coming out from your life? Or it is blood and water? What is in you? Let's look at the suffering of Paul. He gives an explanation in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Now, if we are afflicted, Paul talked about his suffering. So not just Job, not just Joseph, not just Jesus. Talk about Christians now, Paul. He said, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. So in verse 6, it tells us that we Christians, Paul, he suffered. Why would Paul has to suffer? It is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for during the same suffering which we also suffer. In other words, Paul, he experienced that I suffered and God's consolation come to me. I experienced this consolation, so one day when other people need consolation, I can comfort them. So we have to go through something first in order to experience God's grace, and then knowing this, it becomes part of your life. And when others, sometimes when they are in need, when they are in pain, you can use what you have learned before God. You receive consolation from God in your suffering, then you can use this to comfort other people when they suffer. In other words, sometimes you suffer for the sake of helping other people. So it seems that when you feel, oh, I suffer for no reason. Yes, you suffer for a reason. When you receive consolation from God, one day you can use this to help other people, all with very good purpose. So I'm quickly to go through some more verses talking about the blessing or the purpose of suffering. We look at Psalm 119:67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your words. So sometimes before suffering, people gone astray, go the wrong way. So I talk about heart surgeon. I talk about God is saving us. So before suffering, brothers and sisters, maybe you are now going the wrong way. Not maybe sinning, but you are going the wrong way. So God allows suffering to turn you back to Him. That's one purpose of suffering. Let's go to another verse. Hebrew 5:8-9. Although he was a son, Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So even Christ, he has to learn something. Through what? Through suffering. Learn obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So through the suffering, he became perfected. Having been perfected, come to perfection, he really experienced that. Then he became the author of eternal salvation. So even Christ has to learn obedience by suffering. So in suffering, we can stand suffering for a short moment, but for a long time, that's a different story. Okay? But learned obedience. Surrender himself in God's will. Let's look at another verse. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults? So we suffer, it shouldn't be for our faults. You take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, it is commendable before God. So you deserve praising, it is commendable before God. So when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, so when you are in pain, when you're in suffer, you don't want to do it patiently. God, be quick. I want to go through this as quick as I can. But sometimes God lets you suffer for quite a long time. But if you do it patiently without changing, I have to, just like what we have seen just now, obedience in suffering. patiently. This is commendable before God. God would be pleased. Would you like to please God in your suffering? We can please Him even with our suffering for good. Not just people, oh, praise God, how God has blessed me. You can praise God. Can you praise, offer your praise to Him when you are in the valley? Can we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 12? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They have done nothing wrong, but for righteousness' sake. For what is right in God's sight? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God is going to let you experience the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. People may speak falsely against you. And you say, God, so angry, why? I've been good, why do you accuse me? We got so angry, but Jesus suffered the same thing as well. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Can we do that? In the valley, in the dark hours. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So you are not alone. Prophets like that, Job like that, Joseph like that, Paul's like that. So you are not alone. In James chapter 5 verse in Romans chapter 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. In times of difficulty, produces perseverance. You won't give up. You stand firm, continue. And this perseverance will produce character, Christ's character in you. And that will lead you to a hope. Hope no longer in this world, but hope in Christ. So, sufferings really can transform us, change our life direction. Not hope in this world, but hope in the heavenly. Transform you. It becomes a character. You know, if you do push up 10 times, would it build up your muscles? No, you have to push up maybe 100 times, 100 days, then the muscles will build up. So you have to persevere, not just one persecution maybe. Continue, day by day. And the spiritual strength will be gathering stronger in you. Now I talk about all these sufferings, I'm going to share a little bit about what I've experienced before. About 10, maybe 9 or 10 years ago, someone very close to me. My feeling is that they betrayed me. Very close. In the first instance, I can't believe it. We were so close. I know them for more than almost 20 years. So I can't accept the fact that someone so close, we have been have so much time, long time together, old friends. Why would they do it? I can't accept the fact. So I'm unwilling in my heart. No, it can't be true. So the first step is denial. And then once I realize, it's true. They have done something like this to you. So I'm going, not going up, but going down. The next step I fall into is disappointment. How can they do that to me? So disappointed. But not just stop at disappointment. Then I go another step further down. Sadness. Oh, I have self-pity of myself. How can this happen to me? How can this happen to friends like that? Nobody should do it like that. And then go another step, I start to get anger. Why would they hurt me like this? We were good friends. And then not stop there and go another step. So whenever we are in pain, or brothers and sisters, you won't stop at one stage. Denial, disappointment, blah, blah, blah. You go step by step going downwards, further away, as if going down into the valley. I start to have doubts. Is it true? Is it really true? Will God do something miraculous and turn us back? And then I realized, no, it's going to be like that. It may even get worse. So in my heart, I start to secretly blaming God. Why would God allow such thing happens to me? Why? And no answer. Now, what I'm talking about is not just weeks, not just months, it's years of all this dark experience in my life. And then I go another step. I come down to a stage, depression. Oh, so life is so full of disappointment, no hope. And I feel that I'm broken, brokenness. I'm no good. I feel the rejection from my friends. So this becomes unrest day and night. In my heart is groaning. Oh, like that. At night time, oh, when would day come? Daytime, when would night come? The whole days become so long and means meaningless. In my mind, there seems to be a video recorder playing the videotape. Rewind, play, rewind, play. All these incidents. What happens before? How I have helped him, how they have helped me, how we were good friends together. Rewind, play, rewind, play. All this keep coming to my mind, not just once. But if you repeat it many, many times, It really becomes a burden to your heart. Not only that, just like sometimes it's like a court. Imagine you have to go to court every day, and you stand in there and try to defend yourself. No, they say something like this. No, it's not true. You don't know the reason behind. And in another way, sometimes you try to accuse other people. He shouldn't do that. He shouldn't do that. It's because of what? All this of accusation never stop. All this of defending never stop. So you imagine all this burden in my heart throughout this long time. So this heavy heart, it becomes burden. All the days become very gloomy. No hope and no joy. This is my experience in suffering. But remember, in Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. I have nowhere to go, so I come before the Lord. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. So the only outlet for me is go to God again. Then I realize, I go step by step down. Up, down in the valley. Then I will realize I can start to go up. The go up is, okay, Lord, I accept what has happened to me. It's a reality. Yes, it's true. They have betrayed me. Yes, it's true. But still, Lord, I trust that you are God. You are all-knowing God. You are wise. You are love. You have love. You have mercy. I will never challenge you again. You are God. You know what you are doing. We don't know what we are doing, but you know what you are doing. So if you are God, and I accept this, then instead of let God do the rest, I'll have to let go. Let God, take away the D, becomes let go. Let go of my right and wrong. Let go of my seeking for my own justice. Let go. Stop accusing them anymore in your heart. Stop defending yourself anymore in your heart. Forgive. Forgive. Make a decision to forgive. And sometimes people say forgive and forget. But I can't forget. It's so embedded in my mind. Then the Lord reminds me, yes, you need to remember, but remember one thing. Philemon, verse 18, yeah. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. So if we go back to Philemon, Paul is saying to Philemon, if he, Onesimus, has owed you anything, put that on my account. And the Lord has spoken to me. If my brother has wronged you or owes you something, put that on my account. The Lord pay for them. What they have owed me, the Lord will pay for them. And what I have owed the Lord, remember, I've owed the Lord as well. So the account, instead of not dealt with, is paid. Remember, if you go to a restaurant, a waiter come to ask you, hey, this is your bill, you need to pay. If someone paid for me, then I have to remember, oh, the account has been paid. Put that on my account. Someone has signed the account. I can't charge my brothers. You owe me this. Pay it back. No. The Lord said, I paid for him already. So instead of forget, I need to remember, in fact, remember the Lord paid for them. I don't have to charge them anything anymore. So I don't have to go to court every morning in my mind. I don't have to accuse. They have done something wrong, Or defend myself, defend. No. No longer needed. The Lord has settled our accounts. No more accusation. No more defending. And in fact, we come before the Lord and realize, yes, we are so immature. My brothers and me, we are about the same. I hurt them, they hurt me. We are immature. We have faults. We are wrong. We have so many shortcomings. And yet, Heavenly Father, you forgive us. And you want us to love one another. So from you, I receive forgiveness. I give them forgiveness. And I need to receive forgiveness from them. From you, I receive your love. I want to give your love to them. I won't charge them anything anymore. What they owe me, you have paid me already. I can forgive them. So step by step, I come up, because when I come before the Lord, I realize is He has settled all the accounts. And what I want to do now is let His love heal my wound. And from the wound, I can give them not anger, not judgment, but I can give God's love to them. Miraculously to me, 3 or 4 years ago, one of the couple asked me to have a coffee with them. And they asked me to forgive them. When I saw them in the coffee house, I cried. I say, brothers, I have forgiven you long time ago. But I'm so glad that we can sit together. And I want you to tell me, if you are willing, how I have hurt you, so that I can really apologize to you. So you can help me to help you. We can help one another in love. No more anger, no more hate. God rules. His love rules. So out from the suffering, God's love can flow among Christians. Because of our immaturity, we hurt one another, but because of God's love, He heals us and helps us not only to forgive, but help one another and to experience His love once again. So, this is my experience, a very painful experience, going step by step, coming down, but with God's grace and help, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So may God help you as well, brothers and sisters. Maybe today you are going down the valley. Maybe today you are going as if going down step by step. But come to Him. He is our answer. And let God do and let go of all this struggling in your mind. Accept Him. Accept this is the good hand of God. He knows what He is doing. And let His love comes and fill your life. So this is how how he helped me in the past. May he help you, brothers and sisters, in the coming days. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. Because you are the great physicians, you can heal the brokenhearted and bind up our wounds. Even though in the darkness, we can see the light. In death, we can see life. Thank you, you are such a great God and good God. May we turn to you in times of our needs, in times of when we are wounded Lord, we thank you. May we exalt you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.